I'm Robert.
I'm Jared.
So Justified Season 3.
You're the one who asked for it. I didn't want to do it. No, you made me do it.
It's the third season, which I just said. You throw me for a loop.
You asked.
I lost my...
Justified Season 3.
I'm used to need more... What you call cognizantable.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, Season 3 just finished at Justified.
Justified is a show on FX. A cop drama-ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About U.S. Deputy Marshal Raylan Givens. Based in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of it has to do with his hometown
of Arlen.
Yeah, yeah.
Arlen, Texas. Yeah. Arlen, Kentucky.
Arlen. Yeah.
Is it in Kentucky?
He's based in Kentucky and he goes all the way out to Texas every episode.
Wait, is it in?
Yeah, it's
Kentucky.
It's set in Kentucky. They don't shoot it in Kentucky.
Okay.
Well, I think the pilot they shot some in Kentucky, but most of it is in California.
Yeah.
Dubbing.
No, yeah, you're right. Okay, I got it.
Which is why every once in a while someone comments on, or, you know, the critics comment on how giant the mountains are in the background. Like, yeah, that's not Kentucky.
It's easy to get confused. Although I have family that lives out in Kentucky, and Kentucky is really hilly. Like, you know, like how every now and then you're driving in Indiana and like the road's relatively flat, and I mean there's some rises and, you know, and stuff, but like you can pretty much just cruise. Yeah, like in Kentucky, like there's huge hills and then dips and then hill and then dip. It's ridiculous. That's why everybody drives 4x4s. But anyway,
I'd say the main plot of the season was Detroit mafia member Robert Quarles comes down to Kentucky to take over Sunday operations after basically being kicked out of Detroit. And that starts a series of power plays for the crime market in Kentucky, or, well, in Arlen.
Well, I think he specifically tried to control the drug.
Yeah, he tried to control the drug market. I mean, Season 2 was about a pot grower, Mags Bennett, and she had another power play. And I guess in the beginning, they sort of played off as this is happening because she died. Because there's sort of a power vacuum, but they dropped that kind of quickly because she didn't really dabble in everything.
Yeah, everything, because, like, she was...
She basically stuck to pot.
Yeah, drug-wise, she was pot. And while they touch on that a bit... In the next season, the main thing that Quarles is coming down for is prescription drugs,
yeah.
Like Oxy, yeah. Stuff like that.
So he takes over what they call the Dixie Mafia's operations in Kentucky and starts to set up his own semi-legitimate prescription drug scam. Or at least it's backed by real doctors and stuff like that. And this sets off local... crime lord wannabe Boyd Crowder, who's decided at the end of the last season that he wanted to
be a crime
take
lord
control
again.
Of his father's operations.
Daddy's legacy.
And that itself all sets off, involves local power broker.
Local black man.
Power broker, Elston Limehouse.
Yes.
Who is the head of the only black area in Kentucky, basically. So all that crisscrosses and Raylan gets pulled in every once in a while. There's cases of the week.
In justified fashion.
Yeah.
Although, did this one, I'm kind of trying to remember how it ramped up in the last season, because I seem to
think that the episode of the week kind of stuff continued a little bit longer in season two than it did in this one.
Well, one went on the longest. It wasn't until, like, the last four episodes, maybe, that they went into the main plot, while two and three dropped it maybe about halfway through, or at least closer to halfway through.
Yeah.
You know?
Because the second one still felt a bit like the first one in the way they ramped it up, because it's like, all right, here's the definite cut of...
Two did it a little earlier than one did, but it... You know, it also balanced it out a bit more by having, you know, at least two scenes really into the to the bigger arc going on.
But this
one had a couple of cases of the week in the back end. They weren't really the focus.
No. Yeah, there was at least a good two or three episodes that were just setup episodes for other stuff happening, like, later.
Yeah. So we start out, the cases of the week that I remember are, we start out with a guy who called himself the Ice Pick, and he stabbed people in the hand. He did that thing where he... we're going to spoil this entire season.
Yeah, this is if you have not seen season three,
we're highly recommending it. I would I am anyway.
Yeah,
the
I am
show in general.
I hate the show. I only watch it because Robert watches it and he makes me watch it.
I go all through to your house and I chain you to the television. I break all the buttons.
Which is weird, because it's a flat screen TV and I could easily pick it up. highly suggest watching season three, but if you haven't seen it and you care about what's to come, we're gonna spoil the crap out of it.
Yeah. So the cases of the week, I remember the first one had this dude who, his gimmick was he wanted to prove he could outdraw everybody, or he's robbing people. He's like, hey, I'll give you a chance to live. Just, outdraw me right here. And they cheated every time by stabbing them in the hand.
Oh, yeah,
that's
why I thought you were talking
about the Ice Pick.
Yeah. I remember that guy now.
That's where we introduced Quarles and his awesome sleeve gun.
Yeah.
Which,
it's funny.
You drop the rope.
I loved the way, that they introduced him to.
Let go of the rope, there.
They introduced him in a way that made him seem like he wasn't going to be, like, one of the big bad power players of the season.
Yeah, it's maybe sort of background or somebody popped up now and then.
Yeah, but he kind of just seemed like a random business guy from the episode that just happened to have a sleeve gun and shoot somebody in cold blood. I was like, wait, whoa, apparently he's our bad. But yeah, I liked that little, like, slip him in way that they did that. Because they made it seem like the other guy was going to be kind of the one in charge, considering he's the one they sort of introduced in season two.
Yeah. Well, he was in season one as well.
He was.
The Dixie Mafia guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was in the episode that introduced Win Duffy, and Win Duffy was threatening his life, and apparently they got back together after that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we didn't see him in season two, and then he just... Oh, they're back together again.
Yeah.
The next case of the week I remember is, I can't remember if it was episode two or three, but it was, they killed some people in witness protection, and then...
Yeah.
The awesome boss, Art, beat the hell out of the guy who did it with a phone book.
Yeah, he was the dude with the thing, single bullet. I'll put a bullet in here, and you got to pull for...
No, that was, like, one after that. That was a different one, I think.
I was pretty sure those were the same part of the same thing.
Maybe.
I thought they were. I could be wrong, though. Keep going.
Yeah, because he got his junkies do that for him. This was the guy who was in witness protection for that one.
Oh, okay.
So he wanted to get back in with the mob or something, and he did that. They brought in some gal who... I guess was sort of reprising her character from another TV show.
Yeah.
What was her name? She was Silk Spectre in Watchmen, the first one. I think her name was Karen here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They made a big deal about it before she popped up, like, casting announcements, like,
oh, she's come back reprising her character, sort of, because we don't entirely have the rights, so we're going to call her by the first name, but not the last name, because we don't own that part. But we're going to weekly reference it, so anyone who knows anything about this show will know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You made all that big deal, and she just pops up in one episode? She's like, yeah. Oh, you're with your ex-wife again. Okay, I'll come back next season, maybe. Be love interest or something. I don't know.
Screw something up for you.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look at recaps to remind myself what happened the early half of the season. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. Hey, maybe they'll bring her back for season four now that Winona's out of the picture again.
Maybe.
I guess.
Possibly. I like Barchick.
Yeah, and then we had Harlan Roulette, which was the one where they...
That's
they
the
had
the
pawn shop broker.
Broker?
Yeah, pawn shop broker who was working for Quarles and Wynn Duffy.
Yes.
Who's a great, great character played by Jerry Burns. He popped up in two episodes of season one and then came back for an episode in season two and then he really stepped up this season because of the Dixie Mafia focus.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Jerry Burns. But
yes.
Yeah, basically Wynn and Quarles started their power play by think they're putting together Oxy or something, and that's why or this guy had worked with the Dixie Mafia before and he was selling drugs to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they decided to pin him up against Raylan to see what would happen. Then
Raylan, try to take him out. Raylan, as usual.
Kills them.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they killed each other. He
he didn't have to draw this time.
Yeah, they basically end up screwing each other up. But you're not going to give states evidence. I'm going to give states evidence. You don't know shit. Ah!
And also his little gun game led to one of the more memorable parts of the conclusion.
Yeah.
Which made me very happy.
Yeah. In episode two introduced Limehouse, who's shown with a meat cleaver and
in like almost every scene that he's in.
Like half of the scenes he's in, he's just carrying around a meat cleaver.
He's just cleaning pig, basically.
And they do pay that off pretty
well. That was awesome.
How he do.
Oh my god, yeah.
But and he's, you know, these ridiculous false teeth and doing a scene that now when we watched season two, you said, you know, Mags Bennett reminded you a lot of... You preferred season one over season two, didn't you?
I did, and I still kind of do. And it's only because I really liked the connection between Raylan and,
Boyd?
Yeah, the Crowder family. More than the connection between him and the Bennett family. And even though, I mean, his connection to the Bennett family is about as strong as the one to the Crowders, all things considered, it always kind of rang a little bit more false with me with the Crowders than it did with the Bennetts than it did with the Crowders. And it's just because, I don't know, it just kind of worked for me a little bit. And it could be just because it was with the Crowders, it involved a lot more of Boyd, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I still sort of like season one a little bit more than I like season two. But, I mean, they're still both. Like, I'm still not denying how good season two was. But,
Limehouse's introduction reminded me a lot of Mags Bennett's first episode where she, particularly the end of her episode where she, you know, establishes herself as a real threat and seemed like Limehouse's scene was, you know, a copy of that.
It did.
In almost every way.
Yeah. The only major difference is that while Mags seemed like she had a bit of a soft side, Limehouse doesn't. Like they kind of
didn't seem like he did.
Yeah, like they seem to go out of their way in some scenes to show just how much of a hard ass.
They pulled sort of a reversal in both, you know, like season two with Mags, you thought, maybe she's sweet, and she's a little bit sweet, but she also had some, you know, she's got some game on.
Uh-huh. She has to be the bad. She has to be the big bad. I mean, she does work too as the big bad too. And I think it might have been that soft side to her that kind of made me not like her quite as much as like Boyd's completely like off the rails, like his asshole of a father.
And the Limehouse, we build him up as basically a badass, or at least a very threatening type. And he does business with all the criminals. He's their banker.
He's the banker.
Puts together some favors, stuff like that. He's a power broker.
But
in the end of the season, we have reversal where turns out he does have sort of a soft side, or at least to a certain extent, his reputation is just front.
Yeah,
he just doesn't want anybody to mess with his people, and that's how
they've survived all these years.
That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about any of these other power plays going on. He's just like,
he is kind of in the middle. He is sort of reminiscent of Wynn Duffy in that sense. Like Wynn Duffy's a bit more involved, but a lot of times he's more just kind of a go-between. When we get to stuff, but yeah. Yeah, that did kind of turn out by the end of the season.
So how would I know we haven't gone through everything yet, but we are getting towards our destination. So maybe
I have to wrap up.
Well, I do want to go into so which season do you prefer now that you've seen three of them? How would you rank three in it?
I like the way I like the big conclusion of season two. Season three didn't have as big of a conclusion as I wanted it to. It seemed like a kind of just a, like, okay, we're going to put a pin in this season, and we're going to come back to that next season. You know what I mean?
It definitely had more cliffhangers than 2 did, or 2 did seem sort of like a closed story.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of 3, Limehouse is still a player, even though we've basically revealed at the end there that he doesn't care about anything else except his people being left alone.
Yes.
He still is banker to basically all the criminals in the area.
Yeah.
And has all these strings he can pull. So he's still a figure there. And in an interview with the... Did you read that interview?
Not sure.
Showrunner?
I'm not sure. How long ago was that? I haven't read that. I know which one you're talking about. I haven't read that yet.
All right. Well, he talked about basically... they haven't started writing for 4 yet, but they're tossing around ideas. They're not going to meet for another couple months because, they have been done way before this aired because of how cable works.
Mm-hmm.
But, the writer's room won't be meeting for, another 2-3 months. But when they left, they're basically saying they're going to try and figure out how to bring Limehouse back in for 4.
Yeah.
But only if it's reasonable. It's still in a way where... Mm-hmm. Well, since we basically revealed he only cares about the holler, we'd have to think of an even bigger threat to get him to step outside of that holler there.
Exactly.
Another thing to do that.
But, something bigger, even bigger than...
But we like him enough, and we like that character and that actor that we're going to try and bring him back if we can.
And considering he's pretty much the broker for all, all, like, criminal... acts in the county, you'd think that he would have to come back into play. He could almost kind of be like a go-between, like whenever money becomes an issue, gotta go to Limehouse. Limehouse knows where the money went.
Yeah. So we do have that sort of loose end, and then we had the more direct cliffhanger or loose end of Johnny, one of Boyd's Boyd's cousin being revealed to have tattled on Boyd to Limehouse.
Yes, it was his cousin.
As revenge.
Yeah, it's his cousin. Yeah.
And that he really has held a grudge on him since season 1.
Mm-hmm.
When Boyd didn't shoot him in the kneecaps, but Boyd's dad did. Because Boyd
cut him in half. Cut him in half with the fucking shotgun.
Yeah, he's been put in a wheelchair because Boyd blew up a shipment of drugs. And Boyd's dad figured out that he tipped him off, and Johnny tipped him off, so...
Yep.
Apparently he's been nursing this grudge the entire time.
Mm-hmm. This was his way to get him back. Which, I don't know why he thought putting Boyd in prison was going to work, because...
I mean, now he has... I mean, if that had worked, he would have nothing. I mean, he's not... I mean, I hate to go discriminatory, but in the world that they've set up, the guy in a wheelchair isn't going to get as much done as Boyd is.
Pretty much Boyd offered him the best deal that he was going to get, you know. But, yeah, it just, it was just funny.
Talked about that's going to be a running, you know, theme of four, at least.
And, I don't know, do you think this is one of the biggest character things that's happened to Rayland at the end of this season?
What?
Well, the fact that the whole existential like problem with his dad and his family and stuff.
Well, definitely, it was sort of a moment at the end. You know, was sort of, well, that's one to grow on, I guess.
Yeah, it was. I don't know.
Something
it was,
to think about. It wasn't the most. I mean, it's dramatic, but it's not something that's chilling or even that. It's just something like, well, that's logical, I guess. His dad. Went crazy because he wasn't taking his meds.
Yes.
Which was something introduced maybe halfway, three-quarters through the season. We weren't sure whether it was a game or not, but no, turns out Raylan's dad really is losing his mind.
It played out a lot like the thing with Boyd and the whole Gone Religion thing. Spend half a season trying to figure out whether it's a game or not, only to find out, oh, it wasn't a game.
And then he turns out to have been revealed at the end of this episode that he shot and killed a state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end, when Raylan's given some voiceover narration, I'm like, wait, why is there narration suddenly? And then they're like, oh, he's talking to Winona. Yeah. At least that's our excuse
that was,
for having
that was
him
out of, that was out
narration.
Of complete nowhere. I was like, wait, what the hell's going on?
Wait, why are they doing voiceover?
Where is he? And for a second there, I didn't know that's who he was talking to until he brought it up. I was like, wait, that's who that is? Oh, wait, that is who that is. Where the hell, what the hell is he doing?
She's been off screen for like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So.
I guess my point was it was one of the what was definitely one of the heavier things.
But yeah, the implication is that when his dad was off his pills, he mistook the state trooper for Raylan and gunned him down because he was a threat to Boyd.
Yes, and also the fact that he had to accept that Boyd was actually closer to his father than he was because his father actually like takes the hit for him. As far as, like...
Yeah.
Jail, because...
So we ended on a bit of a down note, and again, they said, yeah, that's what we're... Another thing we're gonna chase in four is, you know, Dark Raylan.
Dark Raylan. As if he wasn't Dark Raylan to begin. I mean, he's
Dark Raylan?
He is, like, the closest thing to a, you know, hero this story has. I mean, he is the good guy. But, I mean, he fucking guns down everyone. That was hilarious when my mom was like, did he shoot that guy? And like we were bringing up the fact that I thought he was dead when he shot
Quarles.
He didn't shoot Quarles.
No, but that's
crap. Dickie. When he shoots Dickie in the house.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, he shot him. I was like, I thought he was dead there for a second. Because, like, you know, like, my mom was like, why? Like, when he just shot him. Like, you don't get it. He kills everyone.
Though, again, that's something, if he didn't die on screen, he's not necessarily dead. And that's something they asked him about in the interview. He's like, well, you know, that can go either way. I mean, basically, storyline-wise, we're done with Dickie.
Yeah.
But if we but have we, an excuse, were, we can
they
do
were,
that.
Yeah, they were done with,
But if we, you know, we have the option either way.
Yeah, I mean, they were done with, fuck. We haven't seen him for a while either. Fuck, what's his name? Comic Relief.
Oh, Dewey Crow?
Yeah, we haven't seen Dewey for a while either, but, like, they're, like, the dynamic duo. Like, I just have a feeling they're gonna have at least one episode in the next season where, like, they pop up again. It's like,
Dickie got out of jail, but we can get Dewey Crow out of jail there for the same thing.
Dickie and Dewey's at it again. They could even pull that, too. Like, they got out of jail again.
What?
And, like, I would totally run with that.
So, what, again, I guess here at the end, I mean, we've still got
a couple. We got a little bit of time, so.
Which season
do you like, or how would you rank it? And if you can remember,
what
your favorite episode was, or at least favorite storyline, oh, yeah. I guess, in the thing.
Yeah. My favorite season is season 3 now. I kind of, like, ranking-wise, I would still rank them, like, 1, 2, and 3. Like 2 better than 1, 3 better than 2. I like season 1 a little more than 2, but that doesn't mean season 2 is still superior to it, cuz they get their stride more. It's a lot more obvious, and it's a lot more obvious here in season 3, because I mean, like, there's a lot more fun stuff to play with in season 3. There's a lot more fun characters to play with. What I loved about season 3 was it seemed like they could almost take any of the characters out of what was going on, and it was interesting. You didn't need any one character to carry the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, they got so many interesting side characters going on and stuff that, you know. So, yeah, I think season 3 is definitely my favorite, but the thing I like about season 2 is it's a really good season, and you can almost kind of come into it.
Yeah, it's basically right a standalone there. Season almost. Yeah,
that's what I kind of missed about season 3 compared to season 2. Was that, like, with the wrap, you know, how the season wrap-up wasn't kind of like the big bow on the story. It was kind of like we'll put a pin on this and we'll wait until the next season comes along to wrap up some of this stuff. Which is, you know, understandable. The stakes are getting higher. The characters are getting more involved. I mean, it makes sense. It was going to be that way eventually. It just, yeah, but I definitely like season 3 is definitely my favorite.
I think for myself, although it's been a while, you've been through 2 more recently than I have.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's a toss-up. I definitely like 2 a lot more than 1. Mm-hmm. I know what that was. I think it was just, I was a little more tired of the cases of the week when I was going through that one.
Yeah.
And
we'll see, which is funny,
to balance that a bit more.
It's funny because, like, when I was talking to you about season 3, like, I was missing some of this case of the week stuff when they were having the setup episodes. Some of the boring ones for me were the ones where it was just setup
and then no payoff. Case.
And then, yeah, no case, because I liked the case balance. So it could be I like the case of the week stuff more than you do.
Yeah, well, sometimes it was good, but I think, 1, I was expecting a little more story than they had.
Yeah.
And 2, I think the balance was really good, so I think maybe I prefer that the most. I don't know.
2's definitely their most balanced
season. Probably have to go through 2 again now that I've watched all 3, but it's definitely very close, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different beasts. I mean, I liked Quarles a lot. I liked that acting. I liked Wynn Duffy almost center stage.
Just the fact that Wynn Duffy got more to do in this one.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of Justified, just in general, is I love the actors they've got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
They've got some amazing people, even just to play small characters. Just like, oh, my God, every time they bring somebody in, I'm like, yes!
Yeah, yeah. There's already an online petition to get one of the Deadwood guys, the Swearingen, for the season 4 villain. What's he doing, really? He's just doing bad movies. Make him offer him the part as the villain in season 4.
You can do something with that.
Come on.
Oh, God.
The British mafia comes down to take over Arwen.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I think the other thing I really like about Justified is there's just a whole lot of potential in the show for fun and great stuff to happen. Like, they haven't slowed down yet, and I'm really hoping they're not going to slow down with this next season.
Favorite bit of the season?
My favorite bit was the same favorite bit that my brother had when we were watching the season finale. And I don't know if you would agree, but, like, my favorite part was the conclusion with Quarles, where they're in the room.
Yeah, the payoff to the butcher knife and to the gun at the same
time. Yeah, he chops the arm off.
And then Raylan
starts reaching for his hand. That's mine.
Nah, Raylan just sort of looks mildly horrified and is holding the arm away from him. No, you can't.
No. I'm giving this back to you. That was so amazing. Oh, my God. I lost my shit over that.
I mean, that bit was really good. I also like Dewey robbing stuff and getting all the A6 wish. Like, we don't carry money anymore.
Yeah, that's...
that revelation. Mm-hmm. Come on, dude. You got two kidneys in there. They didn't take your kidney.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite standalone episode.
I think
that one.
Maybe my favorite episode was the Frame Raylan episode.
God, I forgot about that one.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Say that the Dewey Crow episodes were some of the highlights of the season?
That was a highlight. The Frame Raylan was a highlight, and Quirrell's going to see that episode where he finally outlines his backstory in that mesmerizing scene, and then cutting to awesome Wind Duffy reaction shots.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's why it's hard.
I mean, that scene itself made that entire episode.
I mean, like the arm bit was fresh in my mind, and I couldn't take the whoever wrote the part where and then Raylan keeps the arm away from him. Whoever wrote that part is like, oh my God, you genius.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was an improv, but a lot of it was like, same when they had Loretta and she's like, but I look like a Van Halen fan to you.
Yeah.
Like, that was improvised on the set.
Awesome.
Raylan hitting that guy with his car was improv, because they're always, like, they're always trying to keep it where, like, you know, if he shoots too many people, realistically, he would be transferred to a desk job.
Exactly.
So they're always trying to minimize it, and I guess the writing in that scene was he gets out and shoots him, then he's, like, Tim Olyphant is like, can I just hit him with a car?
They're
like... Okay, so stunt guy over here.
See, like the arm thing's fresh in my mind, so that's why it's like my favorite right now. But I mean, there's so many good bits.
Yeah,
like the bar scene is another one of my favorite of like the whole season.
I tried to persuade him otherwise, Raylan.
Yeah, anytime Wind Duffy's just anywhere.
And finally having him share screen time with Boyd.
Yeah.
Albeit a brief scene.
Glorious scene, but maybe we'll get more.
Maybe. That's, again, one of the toss-ups, like, where he basically got Wynn to confess he put that bomb there, but also he did it under extreme duress, so I don't think that would hold up in court, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Where, again, that's the thing where they could take it either way.
Yeah. So,
I prefer to have Wynn Duffy still out there.
Oh, well, most definitely. They're going to have to, I honestly think. Because now here's my question. Do you think Wynn Duffy's ever going to be kind of a power player?
I think this was the closest he was going to get to that. I think after all that fell apart and after he talked to the head of the entire Dixie Mafia, I mean, that's going to... I mean, that'd probably blow back on him, wouldn't it? I mean, Quirrell's is dead.
Yeah.
He can't really lay claim to that at all.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, because, like, this show doesn't seem like the kind of show that lends itself to a big bad that's been growing for a long time, other than Boyd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I was kind of wondering, like, do you think they'll ever go anywhere else with Wynn Duffy, or Wynn Duffy's going to turn into, like, the more... like, level-headed, useful version of Dickie and...
Dewey Crow.
And Dewey. Just brought in for, like, comic relief / oh my God, it's awesome, he's got more scenes.
I would look forward to that. I look forward to season 4.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Another year. Well, got Breaking Bad before that.
That's true. I gotta catch up with it so that when it comes back, we can totally watch that.
Well, they had the series finale last night. It's pretty good.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
Totally joking.
I know.
Yeah.
You told me they were filming. You told me
they got on air filming. Quick, man.
They got on air. God, they that turnover is quick.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you, Mad Men. I know we paid, like, tons of money to keep you on the air, but we're going to bump you for Breaking Bad.
Nobody's watching that. We're watching Breaking Bad. Get more Wynn Duffy.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening.